right, there we go. Welcome into another podcast. It's Eric Chase. We are on the cusp of something that, as Rob just mentioned, and we can get into that a little bit, playoff baseball for the first time in 11 years here in Toledo. Rob Wierczynski, I'm saying the last name, right? Right?
Well, Wierczynski, if you want to get Polish, but Wierczynski, I anglify it, I know.
We're past the Polish festival.
Yep.
Greek festival is this weekend.
Oh, yep, you got it. Opa,
indeed. This is kind of weird. Playoff baseball for the first time in a while.
Well, I tell you what, we couldn't be more thrilled with how things turn out this year. The team got off to a great start. You know, hit a rough patch, but came alive at the last couple of weeks. 11 wins in the last 2 weeks is nothing to sneeze at, and they won when they had to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so now it's really what we're talking about now is a magic number of 6. Win 6 games and you lift the Governor's Cup trophy. So
first game is tonight, depending on when you hear this podcast. Tonight's 6:35, correct?
6:35 tonight and 6:35 Thursday night.
Okay.
Yes.
And then hopefully a cup. It's weird how they do the series are a little bit different in minor league baseball than in other sports where they are not the home team per se, but they start 2 games at home, correct?
Yeah, because of travel, they really just want 1 travel, and they're best of 5 series.
Yeah.
So for a best of 5 to have 2 travel times is a little, a little too much. So they want to, the International League limits that. So what they have basically is the team that's considered the lower seed, if you will, play the first 2, and then the last 3 at the higher seed, which they would have the clinching game if there isn't a needed game 5 at home. So that's how it is in the International League. You got 2 best of 5 series, and we start at home these 2, and got to win these 2 because the next three is potentially in Durham. So
and Durham's a bit of a haul,
yeah,
for the International League. That's going to be one of the longer trips, right?
It is. Durham is one of the longer trips. Obviously, geographically, we're in the what's considered the West Division. So Columbus, Indianapolis, Louisville are the other 3 teams in our division. They're obviously the 3 closest teams, mm-hmm. which you play more of your games against your division team, and that kind of helps with travel as well. But yeah, you're right. Durham is North Carolina is a bit of a haul.
You guys are probably, we haven't gotten to talk much. Usually I work with Andy or Michael, but I see you downtown a lot.
I'm downtown all the time.
Me too. I love
downtown.
I live there. You practically live there with work, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
How has this been similar to something that I know like Andy encounters come springtime where opening day happens, but at least for the last 4 or 5 years, there have been deep walleye playoff runs. Right now, it's the opposite. I don't know how long this Mud Hens run will last or if it'll run up into walleye opening night, but
actually the playoffs will be done next week.
Okay.
I mean this week is the semifinal round. Next week is the final round. You really will have the games done by next week for sure. So September 15th I think is potentially the last game for the Governor's Cup. So it's a quick turnaround. It's 2 weeks long for the playoffs here in the IL.
Have doing the walleye playoff games kind of gotten you guys prepared for this? Because this was last minute. Like I guess in the middle of August I started to see, it was like, hey, they're not that far out, and they played the teams ahead of them, so they didn't back in. They won their way into the playoffs. But then all of a sudden it's like everybody's got to scramble. We got 2 games at home, parking lots, everything.
Yeah, we knew on Sunday that we had playoff baseball on Wednesday and Thursday.
Right.
So you're right, there's not a lot of turnaround, but we are experienced at this. We're ready to go. We're ready for packed houses. We want as many people to come out. Wear your red, wear your blue, wear your Mud Hen gear. Come on down and support the team for sure.
Some questions aside from this series, looking back on the season a little bit, how was How is Doug Minkiewicz in his first year?
Well, I tell you what, Doug was really pleased to come back to his hometown.
Yeah.
Now, grew up here as a kid, moved down to Florida, obviously, went to Florida State and everything, but he definitely enjoyed it. It was, had a little bit of reminiscing with him. Grew up in the Point, actually, in Point Place there, so he definitely has fond memories of going to Gold Digger games, just like I did when I was a kid, and it was nice. Doug was happy to come here and get some time here in his hometown.
Who was your favorite player to work with throughout the course of the season? Well, I know guys shuttle up and down, but there's always one guy.
It's hard to say just because myself personally, I have a limited interaction with the players. I mean, I do see the players, but the guys have been great this year. They've all had really good attitudes. I mean, you could just tell that the locker room was really positive all season long, and that's great. So for myself to pick out a couple of players might be unfair, but for sure the overall general mood in the locker room has been really positive this year. I mean, there have been years past where it little contentious and you can tell there's friction, but I could really tell that the locker room was really positive this year.
And the chemistry helps to get guys in those dark days in August where you've been in one of those rough patches and you got to catch up some games on the hottest days of the year, and guys rely on one another to pick each other up.
If you talk about at the minor league level, especially at the AAA level, you have a lot of guys that are young and are coming up, and they're on a fast track, and they're moving up, and these veterans that we've had some veterans on the team this year that you can tell that they're the steady influence for the younger guys who are going through the ups and downs of a season. So pick out one guy, for sure, a guy like Chad Huffman, who's second time here in Toledo, and just a guy that everybody looks up to. He plays hurt. He goes through a daily routine, and you could tell he has a good influence on the younger players, which is nice.
You're working in the marketing and promotions. What is your specific title?
Community relations. So I actually help with a lot of the charity work that the team does when we do our charity fundraisers. We also have a donate a ticket program where companies and individuals donate tickets, and then I work with groups like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Club, that sort of thing, Area Office on Aging, the Kinship Navigator Program, Believe Center, a lot of different good groups in this town doing good things for kids in the area that we connect them to tickets to get kids to the game. So that's a lot of the work I do with the Mudhens.
It's such a vital part, getting those tickets into those hands of people who might not necessarily be able to buy them. I know there's been a lot of discussion at the major league level about how to re-engage younger fans, and really many fans. And one great idea I heard brought up, I think it was by the mayor of New York City, with all these empty seats, especially during like midweek games, give the tickets away. And there can be barriers for kids getting to ball games or families.
Yeah, and we do have a program where, and that's the thing. We had more than 3,000 tickets this year donated, which is nice. And it's nice that there are plenty of organizations doing plenty of good work with youth in the area, and definitely I have no problem at all finding groups that are willing to get some kids out. And again, you're right. It's like getting kids connected to the game is a big thing, because you're right. I mean, you look at the sports nowadays, football, basketball tend to dominate, as far as the youth culture, and baseball, in just my opinion, you look at the game, you drive around a park, not a lot of kids are playing baseball as they used to. I know for myself, when I grew up,
same with me,
that's what I did.
Stickball.
I was at the local park playing baseball all the time.
Yep.
And so now you're right. The thing is this helps to get kids engaged with the game and get them a little bit more involved.
The Mudhens, one of the great organizations in minor league baseball. I'm curious to see if more minor league philosophies, not some of the kookier ones, but just the interactions with fans and people who might not have a chance to get their hands on tickets. I wonder if some of that bumps up to the major leagues, because there's obviously been a lot of empty seats up at Comerica this year. What's the harm in giving those seats away and I mean, you make your money with some of the expensive concessions and parking, but that's a thing for another day. We're excited about playoff baseball here. When might they play if they advance? Hopefully they advance.
Well, hopefully they do advance, and then if we do make it to the final round, our first home game would actually be on the 13th of September, which would be next Thursday. So all that information, though, we do have a playoff page on mudhens.com. As soon as you click on mudhens.com, you see the playoff page is right there. You click on it. That scheduling is information is all right there.
Excellent. Any fireworks or anything?
No fireworks as we're planned. It's a know Wednesday and Thursday night, and you know it is a school night, but we do have a 6:35 start on both nights to make it easier for families to come on down. It's a little bit more of a family friendly start time than let's say even 7:05. So yeah, bring everybody down and support the team. They need it. It's the push. Again, the magic number is 6. 3 wins this round, 3 wins in the final round, you know, 6 wins wins the championship.
And then is it possible, isn't there a AAA championship as well?
So they started that years back where the it's a one game championship, and so should Toledo win the AAA or win the International League Governor's Cup title, they would play the winner of the Pacific Coast League championship. It would be a one game playoff, and it would be the following, I believe it's the following Tuesday. Again, my mind's not on that right now.
No, sure.
One step at a time. But it's actually only down in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, that's neat.
Because Columbus hosted the AAA All-Star game this year, and they also are hosting the AAA championship game. So it's a new thing that got started a few years back where the IL and the PCL champions get together for a one game, you know, playoff just to have another game, basically. Yeah.
Not that I would ever want to wish any more work on anybody, because I think anybody these days is working a hard 40 hours or more. But I think we're all kind of rooting for you and Andy and the rest of your team in the marketing department to have some extra work through September.
That's great. And that, you know, you know what the thing is you're right. I mean, it is nice to have, because you know that carryover between, you know, walleye and mud hen season, when the walleye are in the playoffs, it's always
hectic.
It's always a great time because you got both teams going at the same time, and the nature of the way it is, you know, even if the Mud Hens go all the way and win the Governor's Cup, there will be no carryover because we'll be done by next week, and you know the walleye regular season or their camp doesn't really start till October 1. Their training camp doesn't start till October 1. So there is no possibility of a crossover on that side. But it's close, which is nice.
When they played, and I think they got, it was 3 years ago when they were in the ECHL finals, maybe it was South Carolina, and it was that season they had they must have had 4 or 5 multiple overtime games, and they were just gassed in the finals. But I remember talking about, like, and I brought it up in the beginning of the playoffs, but they kept going and going. Like, if they win, do they get a parade? Like, is there a parade? What the last time they won the Governor's Cup? What, it wasn't 2007. It was
2006, actually.
Yeah, 2006. Was there any kind of parade? Were you with the team then?
I was not with the team then, but I was here in town, and I am trying to remember if there was a parade per se. You know what? You're catching me off guard on that.
I know.
Sorry.
I'm always ahead of things. That's what Andy said when I called her yesterday. She's like, because I told her I was like thinking about this in August. So if we can give Robert Easter Jr. the key to the city, if the Mud Hens pull this thing off, Summit Street, I will open up Summit Street for you guys, and we'll have a little parade.
There we go. That sounds great.
There are worse things to have in our area, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Rob, thanks for a couple of minutes.
Not a problem. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Of course.
This has been a Cumulus Media and Q105 collaboration. 3 unicorns were harmed and lost their rainbows and horns in the production process. We use cookies for various purposes, like eating and flavor for protein shakes. And you have agreed to this and all other secret policies by enjoying the preceding audio content, which we highly encourage you to hashtag subscribe and share. You can click here for all other legal crap. And now hit skip intro to go to the next podcast. Just kidding. It's the See More Episodes option in your app. Q105.